It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and we have quite a show this morning. Last Sunday morning in February, we are going to be talking with Dr. Stan Garrett, who is a professor of wildlife ecology at The Ohio State University, and who also has been the longtime standing director of wildlife research at the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation. Stan has been on the air with us over the years several times talking about coyotes and raccoons and predators in urban environments. And now Stan, Dr. Garrett, has produced and published an absolutely fabulous book. It's called Coyotes Among Us, written by Dr. Stan Garrett with the help of Kerry Luft of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation. It's published by McGraw Press. No, that's actually, I probably have that wrong. It's published by Flashpoint. And Stan, thank you for being with us this morning. And you have written an incredible book on coyotes. And over the years, we have had you on the air talking about your research. But let's just start, Stan. First of all, thank you for being with us. Let's start with, how did you become interested in the subject of coyotes? How many more years ago was that? You know more about them than anyone in the world.
Well, thanks, Charlie. Thanks for having me. Thanks for the kind words about the book. It was a group effort to pay for. There's a lot of good editors and publishers helping me along with that. But I'm happy to be here. My first experience with coyotes, I remember it. I'll always remember it. So I was born and raised in Kansas, which is a very rural environment in the southeastern part of the state. And my father, I think I was around 10 or 11, my father and I went on a father-son hike and camp out, just the two of us together on a neighbor's a ranch. And we were hiking out there, and it seemed like we walked forever. I'm sure it was just not that far, but it seemed like forever. And we would see tracks or scat. And I would ask my father, what are these? And he would say, well, that's coyotes. And they're around here. And so for the rest of the hike, I looked for them. I could never see them. We had a campfire that night, again, just the two of us in the middle of nowhere. And I asked him again about coyotes, and he says, well, they're all around us. And my eyes got really big, and he said, yeah, they are. So let me call to them. So he called, and sure enough, at first one coyote responded, then another one. And then pretty soon we had at least, it seemed like we were surrounded. I don't remember how many, but there's many. And I just, my jaw dropped. And of course, I was scared and all that type, you know, that kind of thing. But that was my first experience with them, was that these animals are all around and we couldn't see them. And then later on, as a teenager, we would go quail hunting quite a bit. And it was always great fun. That was my favorite part of the hunt was when the bird dogs would flush coyotes out of nowhere and try to chase them, and coyotes always escaped. But anyway, those are my early thoughts of coyotes.
So from rural Kansas, you came to the metropolitan area of Chicago, came to work yes. with the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation after completing your degree and getting a doctorate, and then suddenly, not suddenly because these things don't happen overnight, but you became the preeminent authority in the world on coyotes. And if I'm not mistaken, as I've read this book, and it is published by Flashpoint Publishing, and of course, Stan, it's a bit like everything these days, it's available on Amazon. And any of you listening, just go to Amazon and you'll be able to purchase the book. And Stan, I have to say, not only is the writing superb, but the pictures are stunning. The photographs that you have in this book of coyotes in urban Chicago, I mean, right downtown, and you have one during the pandemic of a coyote literally running right down the Mag Mile with not a car or a person in sight. It's just incredible how you got these pictures. But let me ask before we go there, the book pretty clear, Coyotes Among Us. We're living with them. As I'm talking to you today, there's probably a coyote within 25 yards of where I'm sitting, and I have no idea where it is. What do you know about coyotes? Everything. But what do you know about what's taking place and how have they adapted so well? And does that create problems for us?
Sure. Well, the coyote story is a uniquely North American wildlife story. It's one of the most amazing wildlife stories in the last 100 years. And that's because they've been able, they're experiencing tremendous amount of adversity and persecution. They thrive under that. And although larger predators largely disappeared because of efforts to extirpate them, coyotes experienced the highest levels of predation or mortality, and yet they increased their number and increased their range. Now they're found almost completely across North America and Central America, and they continue to grow and expand. And the last habitat was cities. And so in the last 20 to 25 years, coyotes have colonized virtually every major metropolitan area across the continent, which is just amazing, given that we are their primary predator. So that's kind of the gist of the book. So we've been doing a long-term study of coyotes in the Chicago region. They began really making an appearance or increasing their numbers, we thought, in the late 1990s. And so in 2000, we began what we thought would be a really quick study to answer some of those questions, like how do they live among us and what are the risks or the negative parts of that?
And so what are the negative parts? I'm not going to spoil the story of the book, but also I have to say, Stan, early on here in our conversation, I think Cook County Forest Preserve District deserves an enormous amount of credit, do they not, for having made all this possible?
They do. Yes, the Forest Reserve District and also Cook County Animal Control. Those are the two agencies that saw the need for, we needed information about this because no one saw this coming as far as coyotes moving in the cities. We didn't know what's the right response, what should we tell the public, what should the public be doing. And so they are the ones that have really been supporting this work in addition to the McGraw Foundation. So in terms of risks, they are predators, and there are times when they will conflict with us in terms of taking cats. Outdoor cats are definitely going to be vulnerable, and in rare cases, dogs, and then of course the most extreme form would be when they actually bite a person. Fortunately, those are rare, but we hope to keep it that way.
So coming back to Cook County for a second, when you approached Cook County and reached an agreement with them, with the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, years ago, this was breaking research, right? I mean, this had not
Absolutely.
Been done, and you were using technology. So for all the lampooning that takes place in our part of the world of our government, Cook County deserves, they were quite farsighted in this, were they not?
Absolutely. In fact, not only that, but you know, their support's been so tremendous. It's allowed us to do the groundbreaking research that has kind of formed the model that people have used for other cities. So other cities are benefiting from this research, and there are other urban coyote research projects going on now that are kind of following the model that we built.
So let's do this. Let's take a quick break, Stan. When we come back, I have two questions I want to make sure we cover. How has the technology changed? You've been doing this now for almost 25 years, actually longer. But how has the technology changed that you're using? And then what's the takeaway? And again, I don't want to spoil your book, Coyotes Among Us, by Stan Garrett with Kerry Luft as the editor, published by Flashpoint. I don't want to spoil the storyline, but it'd be great if you could cover some of the things we should be thinking about or at least be aware of with coyotes when we come back. And we're visiting with Dr. Stan Garrett of Ohio State University and the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, talking about his newly published book, Coyotes Among Us. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, visiting with Dr. Stan Garrett of The Ohio State University, a professor of wildlife ecology, and also the longtime head of the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation's Wildlife Research Center. Stan, you've published this book, as I mentioned before the break, Coyotes Among Us by Flashpoint, the publisher. You've written this book. Before we took the break, I said there were going to be a couple questions I absolutely wanted to ask you. So let me ask you, the first is about technology. Technology has changed radically since you began this work. How has it benefited you from when you first started? If I remember interviewing you years ago, you talked about driving around in a pickup truck with a big antenna out the top, and people didn't know what you were doing, and the police were being called, and you would travel into these neighborhoods at night, you know, with a listening device. How's the world changed for you?
that's a very good memory, Charlie, because, yes, that's one of the challenges of trying to radio track these animals is we have to go where they go, and they've been moving further and further into the city, which means that, yes, in the old days, and then we still do it today, we still follow a certain number of animals the traditional way with an antenna off the top of a truck, but we do draw a lot of attention when we do that. And there's certain places where we, you know, it's difficult for us to get to. So to overcome some of those obstacles, we're using GPS technology, just like the GPS in your car or your phone. We're able to use collars that interact with the satellites and let the satellites do the tracking of the animals. And this has been really important for us so that we can understand where the coyotes are going and how they're moving in the most urbanized, the most intensively developed parts of Chicago, parts that we can't really get to physically, but the satellites can.
So can't get to physically. Coyotes, as I'm talking to you here, I'm sure there's a coyote within a couple hundred feet of where I'm sitting, right downtown here in Chicago. Where do they live? We don't see them. You know, we see them in Lincoln Park, or we see them in the parks or the lakefront. Occasionally, you see them dashing down to the street. But where, since they're amongst us, where do they live and where do they breed?
I know. So that was our big question too. And so it turns out that there's no simple answer to that. What I can say is that there's a lot of nooks and crannies across even the downtown area and Lakeshore Drive and that type of thing, little areas that you wouldn't even notice. You walk or drive past it, and you don't give it a second thought. It could be a little retention pond, or it could be a ditch with a little bit of vegetation growing in it, or it could be a parking lot that has, like a layer of dirt underneath the concrete that allows the animals to hide underneath. So it could be literally anywhere that could be there hiding and then coming out at night to do their thing.
So to do their thing, they're primarily nocturnal. What do coyotes eat? I know they will do damage to cats, which, as you and I have talked about, there are lots of feral cats, and that's not a bad thing. And they eat rodents. That's their primary diet? Or do they go through the garbage like raccoons? What do they eat?
Right. Well, we thought that they would have to eat our garbage to be able to live in the city, or at least in the, you know, the city and the higher suburbs. But we've been able to use some of that technological development that we were talking about just a minute ago. One of the things that's come along since we began our study was a thing called stable isotopes, which is just a chemical analysis of body tissue. And so what we do with the coyotes is we snip a whisker from each coyote we capture, and we can analyze that whisker to look at their diet. And this has opened up whole windows into their lifestyle, because the diet of the coyote explains a lot about their behavior, explains a lot about their relationship to us. And the big question is, like, how much human food is in their diet? And it turns out that there are some coyotes in the population that have the same diet as you and I do. So they're eating cheeseburgers, french fries, donuts, that type of thing. But they're in the minority. The majority of them are still eating some of the natural prey, even in some of the really developed areas. So, for example, you said that you're downtown. Well, Coyote 748 was an alpha male coyote living on Lakeshore Drive right by Soldier Field. His diet that we could tell based on his whiskers was 100% rabbit. And, in fact, we could confirm that when we would follow him at night, and he was chasing rabbits. So rabbits are actually more common than what a lot of people realize around the city, and especially on the north side.
Wow. So we've got a couple of minutes left. What are some of the biggest surprises you've had as you've done your almost 25 years of research on coyotes in urban areas?
So that's a great question. And there's so many that we don't have time for all of them. And they still continue. So that's one of the really interesting and fun things about this, is that every time we think we learn something about these animals, we find out that there's so much we don't know. But a couple quick things. One, there's many more coyotes living among us than what we thought, and we don't realize that until we actually put radio collars on them and are able to actually document their presence. So that's one big surprise. And the other big surprise is that their survival rates are so high in the city that's part of the reason why their population has increased, and part of that is due to the fact that they are very good at crossing roads, and they understand our traffic patterns, and so they can adjust their road crossings based on the traffic patterns they observe.
So you mean they're looking at a red light, and that means don't go, and they look at a green light, and that means cross the street?
Not exactly. You're close, though. So they're not using the light itself, we don't believe, because they probably can't see the green light anyway. But they would see it as a white light. But what they do know is that on a street that has those street lights, the traffic will stop at some point. So all they have to do is wait long enough, and then eventually the traffic stops, and then they can carefully cross the road. If they don't have that, then they're going to have to scurry across as fast as they can once there's a certain break in the traffic. But they have to wait for the break to go. They can't just wait for the traffic to stop.
Oh, my gosh. Stan, I think we need to do at least one more radio show. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Can you,
sure,
in 10 seconds, say what's the number one thing we should be thinking about?
Just as we go forward, there's still some things that we need to learn about how we're going to coexist with them. And so we need to keep working to figure out what the best strategies are.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan Garrett. Your book, Coyotes Among Us, just out from Flashpoint. It's fabulous. Thanks for being with us, Stan. We'll talk more soon, and for sharing your thoughts on urban coyotes, because indeed, everyone, they do live amongst us. No matter where you live, you have a coyote close by. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.